Customization, transparency, profit. The HedgeBetter sports betting platform is a revolutionary concept that creates a competitive advantage for every party involved in the sports betting process. We are putting the odds in your hands, cutting out the middleman, and empowering a future generation of sports bettors. Look for the HedgeBetter sports betting platform coming in 2023. In the meantime, visit us at www.hedgebetter.com, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, and subscribe to the HedgeBetter YouTube channel.
Episode 83. Welcome to Steel and Naz, presented by HedgeBetter, sponsored by Slide Edge Fitness and Performance in the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Big interview tonight. I actually did it solo. The guys showed up here Thursday. I did it last night. NHL Hall of Famer, three-time Stanley Cup champion Joe Mullen joins the boys. Played for the Blues, Flames, Penguins. Coached a little bit with the Flyers when they upset the Bruins there. A lot of great talk there. And then also joined by his son, AHL player, also played with Doug Nolan with the Manchester Monarchs. He was in the LA Kings organization with a bunch of
great
other stuff.
Stadium.
They're promoting their Three Ice League, which is a three-on-three of mostly, you know, retired guys. But they're going from place to place. Similar to the – they didn't say it's similar, but I think it's similar to the Big Three in basketball. But it's hockey. It's different. I don't like to compare the two sports, so we'll go on with that. I thought it was a great interview itself. It's great to talk to an NHL Hall of Famer. You know, talked about the Calgary versus Edmonton stuff. It was awesome. Guys, good to see you in the studio. Good enough for you guys to show up. What's going on?
Good enough for us to show up?
Good. Nothing much. Just preparing for Kings of Combat. July 16th.
Shout out to Steph Curry. Champs here.
Are you trying to be Steph Curry? Because you have a black eye from a 14-year-old.
Yeah, he's got a black eye from a 14-year-old.
I bet Steph Curry never got knocked out by a 14-year-old.
Getting cocky, but Champs
here. You're a fucking pussy.
Also, before we spin it to the interview, I just want to give you guys a hint that next week, I think we're recording on Tuesday, we're going to have a big-time guest.
Big guest.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to disclose it right now, but get your popcorn ready. Get the shades on because we're going to be bumping.
Buzzing. Let's go.
Let's spin it off now to the Mullen boys and Joe Mullen and Patrick Mullen.
Let it rip.
Doug Nolan, you suck. Now joined by, should I call it, the Mullen hockey family and Patrick Mullen and Joe Mullen. We talked a little bit before we got on air here, just how you guys doing today. And, you know, it's getting nice out there with the summer and, you know, hockey around. And I've been hearing a lot of stuff from Doug Nolan about the three ice. So it seems like you guys are, you know, really banking in on this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick.
it's been a lot of fun so far. And, you know, with the NHL playoffs going on, it kind of goes together nice with that in the summer. So it's been great for me.
Yeah. Before I get, I'm sorry. You can add.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to ask is what is for people that don't know, what is Three Ice and kind of how did it start? And Joe, I know you're the coach of the team, and then Patrick, you're on his team. Is that what it is?
Patrick. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I thought I'd let you have that one.
Three Ice is a new league. Made up of six teams. Each team has seven players on it, six skaters and one goaltender. And we play tournament style games on the weekend on Saturdays. And winner takes all, pretty much. We have six Hall of Fame coaches behind the benches. It's run by Craig Patrick's president, and EJ Johnson Jr. is our CEO and the brains of the outfit. So it's a new form league. We play 3-on-3 the whole time. We're trying to take that part of the NHL overtime.
Well, it's one of the best parts. I mean, at least from a fan perspective.
Yes, yes. Most exciting, probably. And we're trying to, you know, just do a whole we play 2 8-minute running time periods. And that's it for each game. So 16 minutes of hockey running time with two referees on the ice. So it's coming along pretty nice. The first week was we had a couple of bumps in the and stuff, but it, you know, winding those things out, and things are coming along real good. We got a great bunch of guys playing, putting in great efforts, and the games have been exciting.
Nice. So have they been out in Vegas, or do they just go from city to city?
We will be going from city to city for eight weeks for the regular season, and then we'll go back to Vegas for the final playoff week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
It sounds a little bit, I hate comparing basketball and hockey, but there's a big three with Ice Cube. It's kind of similar in terms of what you guys are trying to do.
Patrick.
Yeah, I would say maybe EJ got the idea a little bit from that, but yeah, it's 3-on-3, so that's kind of where that comes from. But I think EJ was more trying to get high speed and more excitement than that. And it's been awesome. It's been so much fun. So happy to be a part of it.
That's great. And Patrick, I want to kind of dive into your career for a minute. So you played 4 years at the University of Denver, and then you were signed with the LA Kings, and then was it option to Manchester with the Manchester Monarchs. I just want to know, what's it like playing with the old guy of Doug Nolan, and what was your experience like, you know, playing up in New Hampshire?
I played with Dougie my first year. He's about 10 years older than me, and I'm still stuck with him today. And sure, anyone's listening who knows him is also in the same spot as me. But yeah, we just kind of hit it off. I know I let him use my car, and then I guess he's owed me ever since. So
I'm sure you're not the only one who he owes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
I know you weren't raised in Boston. You were born in Boston, right?
Yep.
So when, like, you're around this area, what do you kind of remember most of this area in terms of, I know you played in Manchester, but, you know, it kind of links down to Boston, and, you know, it's a memorable area, at least, you know, my neck of the woods, but that seems to have, you know, an everlasting source on whoever plays around here.
Yeah, you know, we'd spend the summers on the Cape. That's kind of my memory. So, yeah, being in Boston's great, though. It's a great city, and I've learned to love it, and maybe not all the sports, but I like the city a lot.
Nice. Yeah, no, I was out there for the Celtics game 6 last Thursday, and yeah, the people weren't happy, but that place was buzzing. Joe, on your front, I'm kind of did a little homework on like your resume. It's very, very impressive. I just want to know. So you went to BC in your career, you know, winning the Walter Brown Award. Was it a norm back then to like go undrafted? Because you went undrafted, and then did it kind of help upstart your career with the Blues, or was it more of like you know, a norm?
Well, for me, it was a norm.
Yep.
Only because I didn't get drafted, and but you know, there was plenty of guys coming out of college getting drafted. And so, you know, it's kind of a little disappointing that I didn't, but that was fine too, because it worked out well for me with St. Louis and being a free agent coming out of college.
That's great. And do you have something, Justin?
I was going to say, yeah, I got a quick question, Joe. So I you know, you obviously in your background, you know, you were associated with so many different franchises, right? You know, I'm sure there's a ton that are, you know, a ton of teams that are near and dear to your heart. And then even being born in Manhattan, so, you know, being associated with New York, you know, two franchises that you weren't necessarily involved with in, you know, in your career, but maybe you have sentimental attachments. Is there like one team that you root for that you would say, okay, this is my team, like I'm a fan of blank more so than anybody else?
Not really. Not today. No, usually it's the team I'm playing for, but, you know, being retired and everything, I do root for the teams I played for, but I really don't pick one over the other. So, you know, but, I do really like watching the four teams that I played for.
If you could see one of them get a Stanley Cup, who are you picking?
I'd like to see Calgary get another one.
Yeah, Calgary had a good year. It was a tough halt there with the Oilers, but seems like they're coming around. Hopefully Johnny Hockey sticks around.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been a great player for them, so I hope they do keep him. Yeah.
Patrick, so you also went undrafted. So I read through, you know, a couple articles. You battled through a couple injuries. What's kind of been the biggest adversity you faced in your career?
I guess it was probably just my shoulder surgery. Came off a pretty good year in Manchester and had a good opportunity to play with the Chicago Wolves. And then, you know, four periods into the season, I tear every muscle in my arm. So that was probably the biggest adversity. You know, took, I don't know, maybe three years to ever throw a baseball again. And just never got like the strength and mobility back. So it's kind of tough for that, but, you know, learn a lot from things like that too.
Exactly. You see, especially the sport of hockey, I feel like, you know, you see all these playoff teams and then after this, like the season ends, like you find out about, you know, someone has like a bruised lung, someone has like a broken femur. It just seems like hockey, you know, I'm sure every sport has injuries and stuff, but it seems like it's a really tough recovery time because, you know, the season's bouncing back too. And then like specifically like where someone is on a team, like even if you're injured, you got to play through summer camp. And if you want to get, you know, with a big club or you want to get a, you know, the top tier of everything, you, no matter if you're healthy or not, it seems like you have to, you know, always be at least present.
Yeah. I think going into the season's the healthiest you're ever going to be. And you never get back to 100%, and it's incredible to see those guys, you know, play the rest of the year with a high ankle sprain or broken leg or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's also just pretty much a hockey culture thing too.
Oh, for sure.
Happens elsewhere, obviously, and we're not heroes like guys in the military, but you know, similar to that, I would say.
Oh yeah, definitely in the sports world. Yeah, I'm not even looking at that. But Joe, I was gonna ask. So winning three, you won three Stanley Cups. I mean, I'm sure you had a congratulation already about that. Which one was the best? I know Justin's trying to get into what your favorite team is, but I've visited Pittsburgh, and it's a very passionate fan base. You know, unbelievable sports town. I went to Heinz Field for a game for Steelers Patriots. Obviously, I was wearing Patriots stuff, so I got booed off stage. But, yeah, no, how was it, you know, winning three Stanley Cups, and which one was your favorite?
It was great winning them. Of course, anytime you win is great, and you enjoy the game a bit more when you do.
Yeah.
But I guess if I really had to pick one, it'd be the first one because it's the first time – you know, you experience those type of feelings of winning the cup. And it was just tremendous because our whole team, I don't think we had a guy on the team that had won. And, you know, we finally pulled it off and we did it all together as a team. You know, it was great.
Going with Calgary again, I like that. Another thing, too, we saw in, like, this year's playoffs was the big rivalry between Calgary and Edmonton. Was that, like, the same story when you played? Like, was Calgary and Edmonton was just, like, a must-see show? Like, whenever you guys played in their barn, it'd always be, you know, chaos, vice versa?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's been like that for years and years, I think, before I even came around. But, you know, not maybe in the NHL, but just the two cities. I think they always butted heads there, you know.
Oh, for sure. So, Patrick, you decided after, you know, a couple stops with different organizations to play overseas. You know, what was that experience like? And I know you played in, Sweden, Germany, to name a few. But how different was that? And, you know, what part of your games do you think you developed, you know, even more playing in kind of a different style, I bet?
Yeah, the first stop was in Russia. You know, bad advice from Doug Nolan to go there. So that was a mistake. And no, it was a good spot to see and everything. I don't know if I'd go back, but went to Sweden and such a defensive style of hockey that that helped me quite a bit. You know, maybe unfortunately I was a little bit too old at that time to ever get a chance to bring it back to the U.S. But such a great experience to do a little Euro tour, Sweden, Russia, Germany, Austria, and then I finished up in the U.K. to get my my master's.
Oh, wow.
Lived in Ireland and loved every second of that, so it was awesome.
Like, what was, like, living in Ireland like? Because, I don't know, I feel like I get a sense of it around, you know, Boston, but I feel like it's nothing compared to here. I know I get you at the local pubs around here. Maybe you'll see some lads, but I feel like it's a whole different ballpark around there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, with the last name Mullen, come from Irish heritage, and my mom's family as well. So, you know, I always loved being Irish and been to Dublin a few times before and love that. And going to Belfast, the people are unbelievable. And, you know, you drink a lot of Guinness and just an awesome time. It's so much fun. So if any of the guys get a chance to go do their masters in Belfast, I highly recommend it.
Oh, I'll have to mention it to this. I got a younger brother who's just finishing his undergrad. I might have to give him a little operation there. So I can go out. It's more selfishness than me. Yeah,
that's smart.
Joe, I'm just switching back and forth here, but right. I hate doing like who's the best or whatever. But who's the best player you guys have probably ever played with? I'll let you each go, but I'll start with Joe. Who's the best player you ever played with? I know you played in the '80s and '90s. You know, played on some really good teams.
Oh, I would. You know, I had some great centers in my career. You know, starting with Bernie Federko, Dougie Gilmore, Ronnie Francis. You know, so it was, and then I did get some time with Mario, not a lot, but you know, enjoyed every second of that. You know, when you're on the ice with him. And, you know, he's definitely the best player that, you know, I played on the same team with.
How young was he when you were playing with him?
I think he got in somewhere around 84, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I was there in Pittsburgh in 1990.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. Yeah, must have been a hell of an experience. Yeah. How about you, Patrick?
It's a little bit different of a tier of player than my dad's, but probably Tyler Bozak was one of them. He was my teammate at Denver, and then I got to play with Derek Roy in Sweden.
Oh, nice.
He used to be a captain Buffalo and one of the most down-to-earth guys you can meet, like coming from a NHL superstar to playing over in the European leagues.
Now you know, Bozak, awesome was he on guy. The Lightning at one point? I'm trying to remember.
Tyler played for Toronto mostly.
Toronto,
and then
I was thinking of a blue team.
He's been in St. Louis for a bit.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And I have to get this question because this is a Boston-based podcast. Joe, when you were because you coached after your playing career, and I should probably ask how that was, but I need to get right to the point of the 2010 comeback against the Bruins, a 3-0 deficit, and then you guys were down 3-0 in Game 7. I'm sure everyone around here will be kicking themselves when they hear this answer, but, you know, what was that experience like? Because I don't think it was ever done before, and then you guys turned it into at least a Stanley Cup final appearance. So, you know, to really flip the script like that, how was it like to be on that side of the bench?
You know what? It was pretty exciting. I was the guy upstairs all the time, you know, in the press box on the headphones. And, you know, this feeling just came over us, like watching it, that, you know, we're going to win this thing. And it happened. I mean, it was just a feeling, I guess, inside the whole team that, you know, when I went downstairs, I said to the guy, I think we're going to win this game. and they went out and they did it. And I think everybody felt the same way, that we were in that game and we weren't going to be denied.
Yeah, and for me, you know, as a fan just watching, it just seemed like the tide was really turning after not the first loss, but the second loss. It really seemed things were turning around. Where was it for you that, you know, maybe it took a whole team to, you know, have the confidence, you know, really turn things around? But when did you think that things, you know, were going to turn around for you guys' success?
I think once we got the second game, second win, and then you know, we're going into the sixth game, and you get that, you know, if you can get that one, anything can happen as seventh game. And that's, you know, totally the way things felt and went.
For sure. Yeah. And for any Bruins fan watching, I'm sorry, I had to get it off. But a little bit more, Joe, about your coaching career. So you started with the Penguins organization. Now, do you ever deal with Sidney Crosby, or like, how was it going from a player to a coach? Because it's just two completely different things, at least what I'm being told.
Yeah, well, it was really strange at first because I was only, I think I was out for 2 years, and then I got into the coaching my third year. And, you know, I got to coach Mario and Yager. And,
yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, Ronnie Francis. And, you know, it was a little strange, but, you know, the guys were so good that they kind of made it easy on me, you know. That we could always just sit and talk, and you know, I was doing basically the power play, so I didn't have really a lot to do because all that to do is, you know, all you have to do is throw those bunch of guys out there on the ice, and you got a heck of a power play.
Sounds like unbelievable experience though going in, and I'm sure what you took from the Penguins coaching job, you know, you kind of inputted with what you were doing with the Flyers, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, you know. And then I did catch the beginning of Crosby, his first year.
Yeah.
And I made it about, you know, a couple of months with him. And then, you know, we were let go after that. And I wound up taking over Wilkes-Barre for the Penguins.
Baron, oh, nice. And then over the Flyers, I'm sure you dealt with fellies like Claude Giroux, Danny Briere. Couple of those guys.
We even had Chris Pronger there.
Oh, yep.
You know, Briere and Mike Richards and Jeff Carter and the makings of a really good team. They had a bad year the year before, and that's when they let go of Hitchcock. Made some moves, and that's how I got into the organization. And then the following year, they asked me, the following summer, they asked me to move up to the Flyers and do the power play. So I was extremely happy to do that for them. It was a great experience with all those guys in Philly. And I actually stood there for 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, it seems like an unbelievable stretch because I feel like, I don't know, a lot of players try to coach professionally after their careers, and it doesn't always pan out that way. And you were able to swing it for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, so that's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it was actually between the two teams. It was 17.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's great. Patrick, a little feel-good question for you. So what did you take from your father's game or what he kind of taught you into your own? Is that a tough one?
I don't know. We always played in the backyard and everything, and I think he had so much fun doing that. And you know, he's always laughing and playing in the backyard, so we always just try to make it as fun as possible. You know, having fun playing hockey, like you're doing that for people are paying you. I mean, can't go wrong. Can't be too upset at any moment for that. So I try to stay even keeled. I think him and my uncle were very even keeled throughout their careers. That's kind of their reputation and kind of how I went about it.
Nice. And back on the other end, Joe, so you got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2000. That must have been, you know, a great day. Can you just like run back of, you know, when you got the call for that, and, you know, I'm sure all families and friends joined you. Did you have a speech and everything? And how was that all set out?
Oh, yeah, I got the call, I think it was in June. And, you know, totally excited. I, you know, I didn't think, you know, my first opportunity would be, you know, I figured I would have had to, you know, if I had a chance, that it would have took a while to get in. But, you know, being my first year of eligibility, I got in, and I was kind of shocked at that. And but it was a good shock for me, getting that kind of word during the summer. And then I realized that I had to make a speech. And that just drives me crazy. So all summer long, you know, I'm driving around and this, you know, speech is going through my head. And I'm like, you know, half the time I didn't know where I was, you know, going when I was driving, you know, because that speech was always on my mind. So I, you know, I had to shake my head a few times and just, you know, snap out of it. And it was kind of, you know, just bugging me about the speech.
And it's in Toronto, right?
Yes. Yeah, Toronto.
Yep.
But I finally got through with the speech at the Hall of Fame, and I was happy with how it went, and, you know, and relieved at the same time. So, but yeah, that was the one thing that was on my mind all the time.
That's incredible. Have you guys been watching the Stanley Cup Finals at all? It seems like two really good teams here, with a team who's, you know, won two of the last Stanley Cups, and a team who looks like they have an opportunity now to, you know, take the whole thing this year. I'll just open up the floor to you guys. It just seems like a really high scoring matchup. You saw 7-0 in game two. Lightning come right back in game three. It just seems like it's a really steady series, and I think it's going to get tied up tonight. But what do you guys think?
Patrick?
I haven't watched a ton of it. Oh, okay. But, just because kind of been traveling and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's tough to catch. Yeah.
I just think, Tampa's got to be tired, but they're also so good. But I don't know. It's good. You know, it's been fun to catch the highlights and see the crazy scores and everything. But I think it's very tough to predict.
Oh yeah, that defenseman is it Cal Makar? He's unbelievable on Colorado.
Unbelievable, yeah.
UMass, yeah. It seems to be not just the best young defenseman in the league, but might be the best defenseman in all hockey. Who do you guys think more or less? You know, who are your guys that your favorite to watch in the league? Because I don't know, I'm a Bruins guy. I always love seeing. He's probably going to retire, but the whole combination of Bergeron and Marchand was always big for me growing up, and I just think they've been, you know, tremendous for the city. But who do you guys, like, have really looked at this season and been blown away with?
I watch Crosby and McDavid, the highlights all the time, just because they're so fun to watch. And then I like Makar too.
Nice.
Yeah, I think there's so many great players out there now. You know, McKinnon and you know, that whole line there. But you know, that line of Boston has with Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak. They'll entertain you all night long. You know, they're that good. I think they're the best line in the league.
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like it's coming to an end. I feel like things are going to turn over. Maybe that's a conversation for a different day. But I appreciate you guys joining me today. This was great. And just a quick plug on the Three Ice League. Will we be seeing that this weekend? Is it televised anywhere?
Oh yes, it's on CBS Sportsnet. And where Patrick went. This week, and it should be good.
We'll be pulling for you guys. It's Team Mullen, right?
Correct.
And what's the record right now? So you guys played three games?
We played three games.
Yep.
We lost one, won two, but you know, it's a tournament style play, and if you win the tournament, you win the money. So We won the tournament this weekend. So that was good.
So you cashed out this weekend. Hopefully next weekend it's the same way, right? Just want to go weekend after weekend.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully.
If you guys needed an extra equipment manager, I'll be ready for the call.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Joe, for joining me tonight. And yeah, best of luck with everything going forward. We'll be watching CBS Sportsnet.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slate Edge Fitness and Performance, located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
And that was the Mullen boys, should I say, Joe and Patrick. Joe, you know, Hall of Famer, three-time Stanley Cup champion. I did the solo interview. The guys weren't there, but they were promoting 3 Ice. They didn't want me to compare it to the three-ball league that Ice Cube does with basketball. But it's kind of like 3-on-3 in hockey, and they're going from town to town, city to city. They were in Vegas last week, and they took home. There's a money pot every week, and Team Mullen won last week, so they won. They won a big pot.
Do they hit Boston?
I don't
know. Is that on the list?
Not sure. I didn't get
that. If they don't, then fuck them. But honestly,
they should. I mean, that's hockey.
They count. No, just add them 1-on-1. Honestly, do you guys have to watch? Because of Boston.
He wanted to say that so bad.
You've been thinking about that for days.
Imagine Matt in a single interview. He's like Michael Scott. He'll like start a sentence and he doesn't know where it's going. Every time he steps out here.
I'd listen in.
Yeah, that'd be chaotic.
Give me Wander Franklin. He doesn't even speak English really, and I'll.
That would be an electric.
You guys just wouldn't know what each other said. But you guys would get it.
I love you. I love you back.
I don't think he'd love you.
Cut.
Yeah.
He would love me.
I think he'd hate you. But
why is your shirt off?
I'm hot. He's letting the eagle fly. That's all.
Update. How the boxing go today? The Magic and Showtime are getting ready for the Kings of Combat. July 16th in Braintree here.
Magic, how you feeling?
Fine.
Get a little shiner.
He's got a little shiner. What happened?
That eye is looking right at the camera too.
The blood vessel from doing a line or something. It had nothing to do with the
line.
It kind of looks like you look.
Is that what you're resorting to?
That's what you're going with. You'd rather that?
You kind of look like Derek Carr right now.
Top five worst excuse I've ever heard. That was incredible.
Everyone, to tell the truth, Magic got a black eye from a 16-year-old kid.
That's the truth.
I heard 14.
He told me he was 14.
I'm thinking, to be honest,
I sparred the kid. He put up a good fight. I kind of bullied him.
He was good.
But yeah, hey, shout out Joey.
Shout out Joey.
I'm not convinced that Craig didn't give me this black eye. A friend, he says he didn't hit me in the face. If there was footage, he hit me in the face.
So are you guys ready yet? Wait.
Fuck no, we're not ready.
Mike's about to fight in Kings of Combat, and he's like, Craig hit me in the face. He's crying.
I'm not crying.
I'm 9 days in. I went 10 rounds, probably 8 to 10 rounds today. So I fought about 5 different people, like a couple rounds each with each person. I think, yeah. So I had a good little session today, and I did like a pre-loop.
I couldn't be more excited for Kings of Combat. And honestly, after today, after just seeing Magic and just, he's just defeated. I don't care what he says.
Are you mentally done already?
I can just see it in his face.
Because the champ's here.
I need to ask Medeiros, like, what is your realistic best outcome? It's not a knockout. You're not going
to
knock.
Have to put on a show.
Are you going to stay undefeated?
What's the show?
I don't know. The show is I got to put on a good show.
I'm not going to go down
like a bitch in there. I won't go down like a bitch. I can't. I'm going to knock. I don't know. I don't know if I'll knock him out. I got to see.
I'm on day five
of training.
My most important question here. I'm sorry. Still,
no. Continue.
Will you have a post game interview like you didn't have last time?
If they give it to me, yes.
I mean, yeah, that's the whole question I have. Yeah.
Well, like, step one, like, yeah. I want you to win. Rooting for you.
Thank
Two,
you.
Like, if you change. Were to lose, like, I want him to piece you out.
Jesus. I was
like, you losing.
I was
like,
Team Mike. I was gonna.
Like, I want you to win, but like, if you if don't
lose,
win, like,
go
you
down bad.
Yeah, like you losing by decision, that would be terrible.
I agree.
I don't want that at all.
I agree.
Either I make would, it or break it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get a knockout and like have to go to the hospital, but fuck.
No, not
I don't
bad.
Care.
Yeah, not hurt. I don't want. Yeah, yeah, don't want you to get hurt.
I want you to like. Well, I don't want you to go to the hospital, but I want you to be like hurt enough where you have to go to the hospital, but you just go to the pub instead.
I still stand
I
by.
Like that. I like that.
The rounds are quick. Even what were we fighting today? 2 minute rounds.
Yeah, we were fighting 2 minute rounds.
I felt confident that like, you say you were going 20%, maybe you were. I don't fucking know. You also have. Some weight on me
and an eagle on his chest.
I refuse to believe
that.
A 175er can like knock me out in
that's
three in 1 minute.
I'm gonna put a $500 bounty on Mike Medeiros' head.
Meaning, like, if
I'm
this
just
kid knocks me out, you'll pay him.
You keep talking about the weight magic, but I know kids that are 175 that hit 10 times harder than me. Matty Costa's probably 160.
Yeah.
He's probably lighter than you.
Knock
he would literally, like, if our heads were put together down the line, just one hit would knock us all out.
I'm saying, I want to put
kid,
a $500 bounty on
hey,
Matt.
Shut
Matt
up, Wanlack.
Until he goes down.
Shut up, Wanlack 13. And Matty just had his birthday, which is the longest day of the year, summer solstice, June 21st, which is the official start of summer, which is also the official end of summer because that's a. And longest day of the year, so days only get shorter from here on.
Are you using
out.
A Bud Light as an ice pack? Sorry.
Yeah.
Nice.
Magic's
nice.
A pussy. No, honestly.
Wait. Let's be honest. Do you think this pussy black guy gets me like pussy?
Honestly, I have like the smallest
one. No, not that one. No.
Me and you, we've gotten the most pussy black eyes. Like, I want a real one.
No, honestly.
Somebody should punch him in the face.
I look like I have eyeliner.
Get up here.
I look like I have eyeliner on.
I had a mini black eye this weekend.
It's a good idea.
And I was pulling this weekend, so.
I think
the black eye works.
Black eye plays.
Oh,
the
great.
Black eye gets
great.
You laid.
Trey's just a double brag.
Like, what excuse are you going to use, though, like, if a girl asks this weekend?
I'm going
like,
to say I'm sparring. I'm getting ready. I don't have to. I'm going to say Craig hit me.
Yeah, you can say that.
I'm
say
not,
champ.
Well,
champ
then Craig will steal your girl. How about you get another?
True.
Yeah, don't.
I'll make sure I'm not with Craig when.
No promises there. Showtime magic. Makes
I'm also.
Hey,
I'm
show.
Also celibate right
hey,
now.
Magic.
Matter.
This is why you ain't TJ Smooth. You got to be like, hey.
We should be celibate
time out,
for
time
the month.
Out. You Sorry. Should be like, hey, you should see the other guy.
I mean, he doesn't look great.
Oh, you know what? I think Billy Tibbetts did it. What do you think about that?
I don't
hey,
hate that.
Hey, speaking of Billy Tibbetts, we've been getting pretty spicy with Billy Tibbetts back and forth. Yeah, Dad, you've had a slight little beef with them. What's going on with that?
Not a beef. I killed them with kindness and creativity. The first day we tried to get him this week, he was drunk as piss. And I'm not going to say it on the live airways, but let's just say the profanity was massive. It was out of hand. And then, like, in the morning afterwards, it was, like, none of that ever happened. He was our best friend. He wanted to do the show, but he wanted to do it for, like, $400, and we're not paying that guy anything. Great guy, but, you know.
Wait.
Me neither.
Why can't we? We've never paid a single guest. This guy, he's not asking for, like, a crazy amount of money.
He's not worth $400.
Wait, we were, so the only thing is we try to leverage, so we try to put a bet on Tampa.
Yeah, and then lost it over time.
Thank God we didn't do that.
You're welcome. If I was running,
right, so ready?
I think I would have got
so
this
we're down
up.
What? What was it? We were down 110.
Yeah.
We should get the off the hook to people. So Timmy Marks is doing the Hancock Cup July 9th down in Howe's Neck at Brillfield. We should set something up with the old off the hook guy. We'd be like, hey, we're going to do a live show there like right after the show because everyone's just going to go there anyways.
That is a Tibbetts
free
crowd.
Drink. Dude,
no Tibbetts wouldn't be there, but that could be how we get the Tibbetts money.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, use that as leverage. People will go there already.
I did.
Get paid
I just
it.
Don't get why you guys won't have a fundraiser to get this shit bag on.
Well, right. The people don't know. Like,
I agree with that.
We're looking at a screen right now of a FaceTime with Craig and Tibbetts. It was a 45-minute interview they did, and they
did
that for free.
Yeah, how much did that cost?
And then Craig said, "Can you come on the show, Billy?" And he was like, $400. It makes no sense.
We just got to be, yeah, the guy's delusional. Well, honestly, we could just trap him into having a conversation where we record it and he just wouldn't know. So I think that's the play. Yeah, I think we set him up for that.
The most annoying thing is dealing with him is when he'll be like, call me. You call him. And he's like, all right, I'm ready in 10 minutes to go live.
No, dude, so what it
send
is...
Send me the
we,
money, and I'm
we
like,
just need to
no one's around right
we're
now.
All hey, working.
Magic.
We're all working.
Noon. Magic. We
I'm
just
like,
need...
they work. He's like, what magic. Do they do for work? I'm like, fucking, they have jobs, Bill. Dude, it's
no,
literally
no, it's
time.
Funny. So I was exhausted when he called me. So he just got off the phone with you. So he called me. I'm like leaning back. He's like, you're pretty fucking laid back, huh? I'm like, yeah, I'm just hanging. He's like, Jesus, like, are we talking business? I'm like, yeah, what's up? What are we talking? He's like, just got off the phone with your boy Mike. Mike Medeiros, huh? I'm like, yeah. What is that kid doing? Is he working? Is he lounging around? He's like, he's fucking sitting in the sun. He's soaking
the
it sad, up. He's
yeah.
not,
I mean, I basically am shit. Billy Tibbetts, carless, yeah. hanging out in the sun. I'm missing like the dog. I'm boozing.
You're missing a little bit of a fighting ability. Oh, your eye
wow.
looking like
yeah, I don't think he'd get punched hey. In the face by 14-year-old.
Hey,
oh
low,
my
sh-
God.
That's a low blow.
I don't know. He might.
You guys are fueling my fire. What's our guy's name? Mark Foley. I'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow, Mark Foley. He's the man.
Mark Foley is the man.
Is
by the way,
lead
yeah,
me so, to victory.
Yeah, big shout out to Core Boxing. Shout out Kings of Combat again. Since we've been training for this event, the people at Core Boxing, seriously, if you want to get in shape, if you want something, someone to motivate you, Mark Foley, Mike Foley, Jorge,
great dudes.
Pat, there's such a plethora. There's girl trainers, any type of class that's available. There's one-on-ones. There's all these fitness classes, boxing 101. You can spar if you have an event coming up. Like,
it's a they, great outreach.
Yeah.
Great
they, no, they'll yes, really take care of you over that. There. They'll really take care of you
see,
over
we
there.
Do things for big free, Billy. Yeah. You fucking.
Billy, be nice.
Billy?
I am surprised you played. Did I have any effect on you playing nice with Billy? Because I was waiting for you to
no,
like, come back.
No, because you know what? We
him.
Did this a year or two before trying to get him on. And after like he was being the same way he was, I was like, I equaled his intensity. I'm like, you know what? That's not going to work.
Yeah, I know.
So I was like, kill him with kindness. And then with that video I put out yesterday morning, some creativity involved. Yeah.
And he liked it. He shouted us out.
He shouted out the video.
There
that's
is
how
no such
I
bad
felt,
thing
like,
as bad publicity with Billy Tibbetts.
He was talking mad shit about Quincy Pivo. Yes, that's a bad thing. That's
a
bad thing.
A lot of profanity. I wish I could like play some
literally.
Videos. But
we're pretty vulgar here. And it's that bad. We don't want to.
If you think it's bad, like it's worse.
If you see us in public, ask for the DMs.
Yeah, it's great.
And we'll give them.
Moving on into the sports topic discussion. Boston Celtics dropped a tough NBA Finals in 6 games to the Golden State Warriors. I'll give.
We're talking about that still?
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. This is the
it's only a week old.
This
right?
is the aftermath. Yeah, only a week old.
Anton's been drunk this since they lost.
Yeah. And actually, when we recorded the live show last week, me and Steele went over to the pub in the first quarter. And then my cousin had an extra ticket, so I took an Uber.
I saw that.
Yeah, did you hear the story?
I didn't know what the fuck that was. I was like, dude, Adam left here. He went to the pub. He didn't go to the fucking
went to the pub. James Nas had.
I figured that was the case.
Pep talked him into it. He was on the fence.
He did pep talk me into it.
I was like, dude,
how
it's game
the
six.
Fence game?
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the first quarter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Everything
went,
I said.
Everything
is
you went.
I was
so
like,
I
you have game six tickets? I was like, get
took
the fuck
an Uber.
Out of here.
Was it free?
What?
Was it a free ticket?
Oh, yeah. The ticket was worth $2,500.
Legit no-brainer now. The fact that you even had to think about that.
I was looking at him. I was like, that's nuts.
I'll
get out
off
of
the
here.
Airwaves. But, yeah, he hooked it up. And then I got in there. When I left the pub, they were up 10. When I got into the garden, they were down 20.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, time to bring the noise. I had a whole row to myself. I was just going buck wild in there. You know,
row
the
to
beer's
yourself.
Going. Yeah. There was no one like next to me. Yeah. They must have had like all five seats. He just only had one access ticket to get in. I just had it all by myself. I was going nuts. Like the people behind me were getting pissed because I was standing up while they were like sitting down. I was like, buddy, it's game six of the NBA Finals. Like, get the fuck up.
Leave.
Yeah.
As you say, fans have an effect.
And the fans didn't have an effect that game.
Did they not? Oh,
they
whoa.
Did not
have
a fan.
That's what sucks about the expensive ticket. It's all these rich fucking snobs, not all these low life fucking
balcony for life.
Yeah.
There was a couple lifers.
Yeah. Balcony.
There was a couple lifers.
Balcony.
I bet there were some lifers in the balcony.
But not the ones that you want.
What's up, buddy?
not the ones that are screaming "fuck you, grandma."
I went to a game about 4 years ago. They played the Knicks in
we're talking about the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
the
Knicks in the playoffs. Though, I had a kid running up the balcony because I had half season tickets. He thought he was a unicorn.
Humble brag.
Then I had a fucking fat ass Mexican who couldn't make it all the way up the stairs. Just sat next to me. He was, I'm on, I, because I took My season tickets were on the row, on the end row. I had a fat ass kid sitting on the stairs next to me. He's like, I can't make it all the way up. Said I miss.
So you just making fun of fat people right now?
No. And then my ex girlfriend at the time, fucking the drink got poured on her. I was like,
that's balcony life.
That's the playoffs.
Baby. Signed up for it. Yeah, signed up for it.
I say one word. I don't know where it's going.
I'm just saying the
balcony.
This was first round playoffs of against the Knicks. I can't imagine the finals against the Warriors.
No, that's what the only thing that I was like kind of salty about, but like I had to see it, was I've never seen a team win a championship in front of my face.
Wait, so did you stay?
No, me neither.
I stayed.
Okay.
Because I was
you have to.
I watched the celebration.
You have to. No, you have to. That's not, too cool.
And I got the feeling, I thought it was going to be like, okay, like at least I get to see a team. And I personally, like, if they're not playing the Celtics, I'm a fan of, like, Steph Curry.
I don't like
Draymond Green. But,
scumbag.
But after seeing that, it was like staring at someone who just fucking beat the shit out of you. And you're like, I never want to have this feeling ever again. I never want to be on this losing side. So, you know, it was good for maybe the Celtics get back next season. And if that's the case, they have a clinching game at home, I have to be there.
That is probably, like, last on, like, the list of, like, championship losses for me. Like, I don't really care about losing to that Warriors team. Like,
you know what? I do care.
That one doesn't eat at me that much at all. Like, losing the final sucks. I'm not trying to say it
doesn't.
Steph
Curry's
like,
on a dynasty where he put himself in the elites of, like, putting himself in the question of being better than LeBron.
2010
no,
was
he didn't.
Yes, he
no,
did.
He, no,
he just
not.
Caught up to him in rings. He's the greatest three-point shooter of all time.
They're, like,
he'll probably go down as one of the highest points.
Stop.
I'm just going to argue.
I'm
not going to agree with the NBA with anybody here.
LeBron's more
LeBron,
built
it,
for like
it is
success.
Jordan, it's Jordan and LeBron. And then it's I wouldn't say a
I don't think LeBron's
gap.
Close
a
to
gap.
Jordan.
There's
same thing.
I don't like compare.
Bill Russell has 10 rings.
No,
I compare champions.
I don't compare.
There's a gap. Then there's Larry Bird.
Hit the
Knock
table,
hard.
Johnson.
Hit the table.
Let's
harder,
get fucking
dude.
Wild in here.
I'm just.
Kings of Combat, July
6th. I'm upset. I'm upset. I'll fight all of you.
Upset about what?
I'm upset at your lack of fucking value.
No, I don't like the comparisons like through eras. Like Magic Johnson, best point guard of all time. No, he never gets brought up for the GOAT conversation. Obviously, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. He's probably the GOAT in the whole sport. But to even like. LeBron and Steph Curry have completely two different styles of the
game. I know, but who would you rap if they're going up against each other, team versus team?
No, it's apples
and
oranges,
ship,
though.
Who's more of an X factor? I think Steph is.
Not even close.
Can I talk?
No.
No.
In their primes? In their primes or right?
Right now.
Right?
I guess right now. Yeah, I guess it would have to be in primes, right?
Yeah, it'd have to be in primes. I'm taking LeBron James all day.
I'd have to look at stats, but...
It'd take LeBron James all day.
Why would you look at stats?
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Adam, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
If you're going
you're
for... No,
someone
no, no.
check the
no,
stats
no, no,
on
no.
this.
Listen, if
that's
you're going
stats.
Prime
it's
stats, Steph is a three-point shooter. We're going point per
but
game.
But Steph Curry shoots threes. He doesn't necessarily make everyone around him better.
It doesn't matter.
That's what LeBron James does. He does it on both sides of the
floor. It's winning games. End of the day.
And LeBron James has won 4 championships. He's been in, what, 9 NBA finals?
I'm going to take Steph because I wanted prime LeBron James to get hit by a bus.
He won the Disney one.
Yeah, that's 4.
Like, fuck that. I'm just not going to pick him.
I'm not. I just don't. I don't count.
What are LeBron's championship teams?
I don't count the bubble.
4. So he's got 2 with Miami. He's got 1 with Cleveland. And then he won with the Lakers.
I don't count the bubble.
I definitely don't count
the bubble.
The bubble one's debatable. And the Miami ones were dream teams.
Bubble definitely counts.
The Miami ones were dream teams.
The bubble
definitely counts.
Why?
The Miami ones were Ray Allen.
They would have won it regardless.
Because it helps your argument, dude.
The Miami one was Ray Allen and D Wade.
I think this playoff.
Are you going to set himself? Jesus.
This guy accepts the bubble championships for both the Lakers and the Lightning. Disgusting.
Adam.
You're an awful person. Just a terrible piece of shit.
I'm just saying, I think this playoffs shows that the bubble doesn't count. Just the injuries. The Celtics were lucky to not have those injuries, and that's actually bad for this team going forward.
I'm just saying that year the Lakers were a wagon and no one was beating them. So
yeah, they were. There
was a horseshit season, though. It was a horseshit season.
I just think the playoffs bang people up. That you get beat up in the playoffs. The bubble was just like a bubble.
It was a different. It was a
it
different
was a bubble.
Way.
It was a bubble.
All right, let's get off the bubble.
Oh, now that Adam's wrong.
Yeah, no, now that he's wrong. Yeah, you suck.
Oh no, I'm right, but we've already beaten this to a drum. We're not going to get past it.
Suck.
You suck. Well, you say one thing and then don't talk.
I do think there's a debate that LeBron's not as
both like, every not even championship close to Jordan bullshit.
And maybe not even better than Steph.
What? So Steph's two overall?
I think he could be. Oh I think God. The argument could be made.
It's getting hot in here.
He's a fucking beast.
So what happens if Steph wins another ring? And he has more rings than LeBron?
Huh? Is he a two?
Then we get a little bit more conversation.
No. I'm asking a question, Anton. If
Steph who has a better chance of winning another chip?
Overall.
Yes, he is, dude.
In the point right now, probably Steph Curry, but I mean, 100%. LeBron James' team can be changed overnight.
Well, that's fucking horseshit.
Yeah.
The fact that you're using LeBron, Dragon, and maybe Kyrie and like a Durant
that's my point.
To win a ship is. Yeah. That is point blank why he's not number
no,
two.
No, that's point blank why the NBA sucks.
I agree. Fair. Yeah. and wait, also another question. What do Celtics have to do to then win next year?
I don't even know.
Probably get a little bit more deeper and then not fuck up when the season's on the line.
The bench was so bad.
They went to the finals with like an 8-man rotation and like the other 7 people on that bench are literally fucking useless. So like if they get people that are less
fucking bad.
If they get people that are less useless.
Not the two Craig's horn, but I think the name Craig Hines was more recognizable than the other 7 people on the Celtics bench.
You cut the bench. You cut the bench.
I had the same stat line as all of them.
You start the playoffs with 12. You cut it down to 10, cut it down to 8. That's what you do in the NBA. That's what you do when the game.
But
is
you need 10 though.
Jimmy Butler was playing 48 minutes in the fucking Eastern Conference Finals without a Tyler Hero,
which is why they lost.
Yeah, like that's
because they had no one else. But I'm just saying
that's his point.
Lost. Yeah. They lost on a.
Need that someone else.
No, they lost because he missed that 3-point shot. You were wrong.
They could have lost. They should have lost it way before that, too. The Celtics just gave them more chances.
I think my ears just popped throughout the fucking thing.
The Celtics shot themselves in the leg. That's the reason why I'm most disappointed in this loss in the NBA Finals. Yes, I think the 1 in 2010 to Kobe definitely hurt more worse. But knowing that the Celtics, I still thought, were the better team in the series, but they didn't show up when it meant the most,
that
hurts. Because I think they were the better team.
I agree.
I don't think they had the best players in the series itself. I think
it's close though. Yeah, it's close.
But I'm saying overall team. I think the Celtics were definitely better.
If you were to rank like top 7, I think we have 5 out of
at least
8. I think we have 5 out of
at
the
least
eight.
4.
But they didn't play.
At least 4.
They didn't play like
in the Jays.
Jason Tatum didn't. Everyone else.
If Jason Tatum was even the second best player, or the third best, or the fourth.
By the
best,
way. Quick interjection, Jorge just texted me, my trainer for Kings of Combat. He goes, hey man, you said you were going to spar Bobby Lang, Lights Out Lang, heavy lightweight champion of Rough and Rowdy.
Wait, are you talking about Kings of Combat, July 16th?
Exactly. Tickets on sale now, VIP still available. Get your merch online, kingsofcombat.co. He said, hey man, didn't you say you were sparring Bobby Lang? He's a pro, isn't he? I said you should never spar without a trainer, but you know what you're doing.
Oh my God.
Shout out Jorge.
Bro Craig.
Magic and him have like a low key beef.
I got beef with him.
Is the champ here? Is the champ there? Is the champ there?
I literally told Jorge I haven't been in the gym in 4 fucking years. And he didn't offer me a single fucking piece of advice.
Did you show him?
That was 2 years ago.
Wait, did you? Wait.
Two years.
Did you,
no, it was not 2 years
see,
ago.
Did you see Jorge throw the jab on my bag?
No.
Bro, he hits so fucking hard. It's not even funny. He throws a jab literally harder than any of us could all throw a right hand. It's fucking absolutely insane.
I just don't get why Jorge allowed me to get tuned up.
Hey, Jorge believes in Showtime. I believe in Showtime now.
You know what?
No,
I gotta find my own Jorge. I'll find my own Jorge in there.
I think it's on time.
I'm like bigger than Magic. And
no, I need someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Hey.
White men can jump. That's it.
Adam.
The documentary.
I'm like in the ring, right? So I'm like sparring with Mike. I'm like tossing out a few jabs. He's not really doing much. Jorge's like, jab and hit the body. So I'm like, jab and hit the body.
It might be Uncle Mike.
Magic's like, Magic's dying in the corner. Instead of like coaching him, he's like, Craig, stay in it. Stay in it. he's like, pour it on him. So I'm just ripping body shots.
It's all good, Jorge. It's all good. I don't give a fuck.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm here to take the hits.
Magic, I told you. You want to earn his respect, you got to spar him.
I'll fucking spar him.
Dude, just I'm telling you, for the if anyone doesn't know that's never sparred in a boxing ring before, it's going to get involved. The ethics of boxing when you spar, don't hit someone harder than you want to be hit. So unless you want to
You didn't live by those rules today.
No.
I didn't even hit you.
You mother.
We should have been working footwork. Let's get back to the Celtics.
And then another thing of you guys, you're gonna hate me, but you guys took the Celtics and I took the Warriors in six.
Yeah, all right. I didn't want to bet against my home team. You just like it. You and it's Justin like Keenan are the same. He was here.
The good thing
the
is, no, I was the good not... thing is, this dickhead wanted us to put 440 on the Lightning the other night. Yeah, and fucking yeah. How'd that go?
That was their. That was. They didn't show up. That's on the Lightning. That's not on me.
That's all on you.
They had to win.
That's
that game.
All
it's
on
the Celtics
you.
Then too.
What?
It's all on.
How is that my
they
fault?
Had to win that game six.
Yeah, and they blew it. Both teams fucking blew it.
I'm disgusted bullshit. With Tampa. Yeah. As a future resident this year, I would have loved.
Colorado in five.
No. Tampa
yeah, it's
seven.
Over.
Yeah, you're going to gloat it's about over. That pick too when it happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You nailed that
at
too.
Least, at least I didn't switch the Warriors one. I stayed packed.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you're not putting money on it, who cares about the picks?
I do. I think
Why?
All should.
Yeah. Why?
Because we take pride in the podcast. Take pride in the podcast.
Wait. Except for Thursday night football. Fuck.
I was going to say, let's rewind. Let's rewind. Who is best
hurt? I think we tied.
No, we did not.
Thursday night football doesn't matter anyway.
We did not tie because I was the best.
We tied.
We did not tie.
All right, well, I'm going to beat you this year. And you took the Jets. And you took the Jets.
I took the Texans.
You took the Jets.
I took Davis,
and
no.
You took the Browns.
You
I
did have Davis. The worst pick of all time. Dude, the Jets one was bad.
That was the worst pick.
You literally won like 58-0.
I took Davis Mills on his opening start.
You took you lead the podcast.
Whatever helps
Mills
you to
dumps.
Sleep at night, pal.
Yeah. I still won.
It's a good time to transition into Gronk retiring.
Yep, Gronk retiring.
He's not retired.
It's his second retirement. Now he's now beating Tom Brady 2-1. Greatest tight end ever.
Why not?
What do you think?
Greatest tight end ever.
He's not done.
I think Gronk is such a joker. He might not be done.
Gronk's the best tight end of all time.
I think three.
No, he's number one. He's number one.
Tony Gonzalez.
But no, I
you're dumb, stupid, and wrong.
I look at it
wrong, and then like slightly less wrong.
That like
a little bit more. You're right there.
But I think those three are comparable.
You just gotta flip him.
Yeah, you could. I don't.
I think he's
I have a strong take on
he's
that.
The best tight end of all time. Like Barry Sanders is the best running back of all time. They did it in flashes and limited years. Well, you have Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates.
So you take Barry Sanders
They have the longevity pick. That's why they get picked as the best tight end of all time because they've played the most games. They have the best career numbers. When it's the most dynamic tight end of
Shut
all
that
time.
Off. Who is that?
Is
hey, come on, man.
Is Rob Gronkowski. It's,
I mean, yeah, but then you can say, like Cal Ripken, his arm.
Let's not compare to
that's
Cal
the greatest. That is an un.
The biggest mistake we're making here tonight is talking about great. It's a terrible conversation.
No, the biggest
no
mistake
one ever
was,
has an answer for
the
it.
Biggest mistake is that Jon Snow killed.
Oh my
fucking
spoiler!
God damn it!
I think that 14-year-old knocked you some fucking brain cells.
Yeah, Craig, you could cuss.
I like it. I
fucking
like it.
Fly over this goddamn producing table right now.
I forgot
right
he's stoned. Actually, that's how he's trained.
Oh, he's got so many.
Oh shit.
He's gonna be flying
keep drinking
with that
and drink your fucking booze bag.
Yeah, fucking, yeah.
I'm not looking great over here.
Next,
with two buddies.
I think the next Kings of Combat, I'm gonna go down to 175 and beat the shit out of
him. Come on down. Water's warm down here.
There's weather down there, bitch.
The sharks are swimming around Magic Mike.
Everyone wants a shot at the ship.
That
14-year-old
that was a great part.
That's
a great. We should end on that.
The 14-year-old hopped in the ring today. He was like, "I know who you are."
Who to me?
No, to me. He was like, "I know you're the fucking."
Wait,
champ.
Was he getting ready for Kings of Combat on July 16th?
Oh, I don't know what he was doing.
Just kicking her ass.
Yeah, you're fucking kidding. You're dishing him.
Just
that,
stealing
dude.
My fucking lunch money.
We'll wrap.
No, wrap it up.
What do you want?
Lightning suck. Go ahead.
Magic's never wrapped it up in his life. Naz, take us away.
Magic takes an SCT test. Literally, like once every 3 weeks, it's like on schedule. Like they have an appointment.
That's bullshit because I forced him to get one the other day.
No, well, he's.
I haven't been tested in a bit, but
I've never seen someone get tested.
Hey, wait, who was your last kill when you got tested?
Don't know.
I do.
Stealing as episode 83. Want to thank Slight Edge, Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, and the law offices of Patrick J. Foley for the sponsorship. Everything you do. You know, going to be another hell of a weekend. Want to give a big shout out to our guy who was just actually in the studio, Paul Curtin, getting married this weekend.
Yep. Big weekend. Family
Powers. Big shout out to Paul.
He'll be right back. He's grabbing beers.
Also, a big shout out to Joe Brown there. Good to see him.
Where's he getting married?
Back home.
Tomorrow.
Where?
No, I'm not disclosing that.
off air?
Yeah, release it.
Lay those in. Cape Cod.
Wrong.
I can be there Saturday.
Guys, make sure you check out kingsofcombat.co. Grab your tickets if they're still available. They're flying off the shelves.
Kings of Combat, July 16th. Grab your merch.
Everyone has some VIP tickets, except Adam.
No, we all have them. And I got extras.
If recording's still going, we have a huge episode coming up next week. Huge episode.
Yeah,
huge,
oh, my huge episode. God.
Enormous episode. This is gonna be fading away. Sorry if we pitched in the back end here.